you so much to Reverend Andy and to everyone who helped to bring this service together. It's wonderful to be able to worship with you on this Christmas Eve. And I have no doubt that you're looking in your order of service and thinking, communion, hang on a minute, this is Christmas Eve. Why are we having communion at a Christmas Eve service? That makes no sense whatsoever. Well, those who know me will know that it doesn't have to make any sense. But I'd like to explain why. So when I was young, when I was a kid, my parents were Jehovah's Witnesses, as were my grandparents, as were my uncles and aunts, my nephews, my siblings, whole family, Jehovah's Witnesses. So we didn't get to celebrate Christmas. I remember walking home from school and I'd pass all of the houses that had Christmas trees in the windows, that had lights on, that had lots of paper hanging from the ceiling. And I remember hearing Christmas carols and thinking how wonderful they were. And it was a serious thing in my family, Christmas. And it had to be avoided at all costs. So I wasn't allowed to go to the Christmas party at school. I wasn't allowed to sit in on any of the Christmas plans. And in fact, on Christmas morning, my father would take me out knocking on doors. I can guarantee nobody wants a Jehovah's Witness on their door on Christmas morning. So what would happen is that as we went from door to door, my father would get looks of disgust and I would get looks of pity as I stood there and held his hand. And let me tell you that that feeling of self-righteousness that you get when you think you're doing something right for the right reasons, it doesn't last long. And it's absolutely no compensation when you know that everyone else is opening gifts and enjoying a Christmas dinner. I can remember one year, my father caught me humming a Christmas carol, and I was in deep trouble, absolute deep trouble, because it all had to be avoided. So the one thing I knew as I grew up was that I was never going to know what a family Christmas was like, because for me, it just couldn't happen. There was no possible way that could come about. And even as the years went by, you can take the boy out of the religion, but you can't really take the religion out of the boy. And I was in my late 20s before I even got to the point where I thought I might be able to send a Christmas card or hang up something in the house. It took a long time for me to get there. And then when I was in my late 20s, I had an experience of God, which is kind of what brought me here. It's what brought me to the church. It's what brought me to MCC. And I can remember that Christmas, my sister had remarried, and the man that she'd remarried wasn't a witness. So she decided that she was going to step back from the religion. And she gave me a call and said, my husband and I are going to spend Christmas together, and I'm getting a tree. And there was this silence. A tree. Yeah, I'm getting a tree, and I'm going to put lights on it for your niece, and I'm going to put presents underneath it. Why don't you and your partner come and spend Christmas with us? Okay, I said. Of course, it's a 300-mile drive, which is no mean thing, as Chris and Carol will tell you, because they've made the drive a number of times. And it got to a couple of days before we were due to travel, and I got a phone call from my mother, who didn't live far from my sister. They all live in the Tyne Valley. And my mum said, I hear you're coming up for the holidays. She couldn't even mention Christmas. I hear you're coming up for the holidays. And I said, yeah. And she said, and you're staying with Gail? I said, yes. And she said, well, it'd be really nice if you and your partner came for dinner. And I went, okay, that would be nice. And she said, you know, the butcher I work for has given me a turkey, and it'd be a shame to waste it. So I'm going to do a roast dinner. I said, that's great. Thank you. And she said, of course, I've been making plum puddings and I've been making cakes, because she sold them to make some extra cash. And she said, I've got a cake left over and I've got a pudding left over. So I thought we might have a pudding together and some cake. And I said, that would be lovely, thank you. And then she said, you know, and the best day to come up would be the 25th, because we're all off work. So because we're all off work, it makes sense that that's the day we get together. And, you know, your stepfather will be here, your gran will be here, your Auntie Betty will be here. Obviously, your sister and her husband and your niece are coming over. So I think it would be really nice if all of us got together and just had a really nice day together. And I said, lovely, what time would you like us? And she said, oh, about 3:15, because your stepfather wants to hear the Queen's speech. I'm like, okay. So we got in the car on Christmas Eve, and I remember driving from London all the way up to the northeast. And as we were driving along, I was listening to all the usual Christmas music on the radio, and my partner had fallen asleep next to me. I was driving, by the way, so my partner had fallen asleep. And we got as far as the end of the A1. And right at the end there, it starts to dip over into the Teme Valley. And as you look up to the right-hand side, you see the Angel of the North just standing there. And as we came to the top of the hill, and we start to move down the other side, it started to snow. And I don't mean little flecks. I mean big, big snowflakes that just landed on. And within a minute, everything was blanketed in white. It was just extraordinary. And as we drove down the hill into the valley, into the Teme Valley, with the Angel of the North there on the right, I suddenly realized that for the first time in my life, I was going home for Christmas. And I remember praying and saying, God, how did you do this? How did you do this? And then the next thing was, and why did you do this? There's nothing special about me. Why would you do this? The amount of things that had to come together for this to happen. How? And I felt this overwhelming sense of love. You know, we talk about Christmas as being a time for miracles. And sometimes I think it's easy to think that's just a saying, that, you know, at Christmas time, miracles happen. In my experience, at Christmas time, miracles do happen. And I could recount miracles that I have seen, and not just my Christmas day with the family, but other miracles that I've seen in and through the church and in and through the church community. I have seen extraordinary things happen at Christmas. Christmas really is, for me, a time for miracles. It really is a time when things change. It really is a time when God opens our hearts and enters in, as we sing in the carol. So, of course, we stayed at my sister's, on the most uncomfortable sofa bed I've ever slept on in my life. And we went to my mum's the next day. The turkey was as dry as a bone. I think the sprouts had been simmering since September. And my stepfather fell asleep in the chair and snored all the way through Disney time, which is what Christmas is all about, of course. But we all gathered together. There was the whole family there for the very first time. And for me, it was something really special. And for me, food and sharing, they kind of bookend the Bible story about Jesus. We start with Jesus' birth and we celebrate with a meal. And then we get to the end of his life, and what Jesus does is share a meal with his disciples. All the way through, Jesus shares bread and shares a cup with friends and those around him. Because there's something really special when we share. There's something really special when we connect. There's something really special when we invite God in, even unintentionally. So this evening I asked Reverend Andy whether it would be okay if we shared an MCC communion with you. And of course we do communion a little differently to you. We still have a cup that has no alcohol, and we still have gluten-free bread. So you're more than welcome to join us. We believe, of course, that the gifts of God are for all the children of God, and we're all the children of God, so everybody is welcome. However, Genevieve will be stood to one side with the cup and a plate, and we invite you to come and just take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and serve yourself. And then here, there'll be Reverend Andy, Reverend Heather, Nigel and myself. And if you would like a prayer for Christmas, or you would like a blessing, or just a word, if you'd like to remember something or to share something, then we will be here. And we ask you to come and to just be with us for a moment whilst we share in this. So I think Steve's going to just lower the lights for me a little bit. And Chris, if you'd like to come, please.